This is the Closer and Closer podcast, where we bring creatives from all over the world together for you to learn from, relate to, and be inspired by. As fun as creativity is, we know it can get really lonely. So our LA-based agency is bridging that gap with weekly conversations with inspiring creatives to help you grow your career. Let's get started. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. And I have back with me my co-host with the host, Kate and Vance.
Co-host with the most, what were you about to say? I couldn't quite get it.
Hostess with the mostest. We made it work.
There you go. Hi, everybody. I'm Kate and Vance. I'm the marketing and partnerships director here at Closer and Closer. And today's episode is going to be a little different. It's actually just Andrea and I. And we've got some news. It's not like the best news, but it is some news. So we are actually going to be pausing the podcast here at Closer and Closer for the whole next quarter. Exactly.
I wish we had a soundboard.
I know. So like just the sound is just like people being like, boo, no. Get out of here.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. But it's not for lack of love or care or how much work has been gone into this podcast. There's some like random facts about podcasts that are pretty crazy. Like the fact that we have so many episodes, so many people that have listened to it. Like it's been a very successful podcast for our artists, especially on the roster. We've gotten more artists that have joined the roster because of the podcast, but when it comes to a marketing team and when it comes to a growing company, sometimes you just got to focus. And we've got to dial it back a little bit. So
totally. And I don't know if the people know this, but we are a three-person marketing team. So resources in terms of time are limited. And unfortunately, this was just one of those things that was a big time suck.
Yep. So what we're going to do is be just focusing and streamlining our efforts in the coming quarter. But before we, you know, hit pause completely on this, I wanted to take some time and ask Andrea some questions because Andrea has been the longest standing host of this podcast. We've had, I can't remember his name, who started it with Drew.
Tristan.
Tristan was there for a little while.
Tristan originally. And then I came in, I want to say like very end of 2020. And then me and Dave together hosted it up until like a couple weeks ago. And then now we have you here.
Awesome. So Andrea, when it comes to hosting a podcast, tell me first, did you ever imagine that you would even host a podcast?
No, I say this all the time to everybody that I know. But truly, I think when I first started at Closer and Closer, if you had told me that I would have had to host a podcast, don't know if I would have interned here. I was so scared. This is like a big fear of mine. I definitely was never someone that was comfortable talking in front of an audience or like in front of people and knowing people were going to be hearing me. It was very scary. So it was definitely not somewhere I thought I would be. And then just kind of, you know, the circumstances of the job, all of a sudden we had a podcast and no one to host it. And I was the marketing team as one person. So, you know, the responsibility fell onto me and it was terrifying at first, but I mean, it's really become one of my favorite parts of the job. Like this is such a unique opportunity and I've really grown to love it. Like, I really have gotten so much more comfortable with it. And it's been a great learning experience, for sure. Helped me put myself out there so much more.
Well, can we unpack that a little bit? In what ways has this sucker been a learning experience for you? Because obviously, you get to the, I think, privilege. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about it is, like, interviewing artists in different stages of their careers, different stages of success, but also just, like, hearing how the process works and how creativity works and how each individual artist is so different when it comes to how they approach either illustration or animation or design. So maybe what are some of the highlights that you think you've learned in this journey of interviewing all of the Closer and Closer artists and then also like some of our friends and clients?
Totally. Yeah, there's so many. I mean, first off, just from like a technical, practical standpoint, I learned how to interview people. I learned how to be a good host. I learned just how to make this whole thing work. Kind of, I was also doing I want to do quote unquote production side of things. Not that we do a lot of production, but you know, all the planning and scheduling and outreach and all of it was my job. And so that was a big learning experience for sure. Just making sure that just seeing everything that goes into running a machine like this, it's crazy. But then aside from that, yeah, like, I mean, I came into this job never having worked in the art industry. I don't think I even really understood that there was a commercial industry. I remember telling Drew during my first interview with him for my internship, which is how I started. I was like, you know, because I came from a music background, so I worked at like music management companies, and I was very familiar with like the agency world in that space. But I said to Drew straight up, I was like, I don't think I had ever thought about the fact that these existed for illustrators and like commercial artists. And I don't think I ever thought about the fact that there were people out there that were illustrating in so many, you know, like in my brain, it was just books had illustrations and like that was illustration. So, I mean, getting the opportunity to talk to 50 plus incredible artists that are so talented that do this for a living and are commercial artists and have worked on so many different kinds of projects with so many different kinds of clients and have such unique perspectives has been insane. Like, I think it really just expedited my process of, you know, getting the lay of the land and understanding the industry and what it really is that we're doing here. And I think that was like a super special opportunity that nobody else on the team has gotten quite in the same way. And then, yeah, from the clients, I mean, again, this is something that I've never done. I always call myself creative adjacent. So I'm not somebody that was, you know, familiar with what it looks like to hire an artist or to work with an artist or to direct artists in any type of capacity. So just seeing like how passionate they really are about their jobs and like how much they genuinely care about our artists, that's also been really amazing. Like finding out that, you know, it really is like a special, special partnership that our artists have with our clients. And like, our clients are just as much fans of our artists as we are. Has been super cool to see, because I think, you know, sometimes clients get a bad rep with the artists. They're like, you know, they don't value us the way that they should, but they just talking to them on this podcast, I'm like, damn, like y'all know what you're doing.
Yeah. And they do have, I mean, like I listened to the one from Kelly from Envoy, for instance, is the one that stands out, and it's very clear. She loves, creativity, illustration, design, 100%. Branding, all of those things. But then what she really loves about it is that people are actively creating these things in the background. And you guys did a really good job of interviewing her through that process. And like just the excitement just and passion just kind of very evident if you've listened to that one at all.
100%. Yeah. So, no, it's been so unique. Because also we don't, I mean, on the marketing team, we don't always get to be in front of clients and like talking one-on-one with them. So just getting to know them in that capacity has been so helpful. And then, yeah, I think after the podcast, we went on to do like a presentation with Kelly, and it just felt, I don't remember which one came first, the chicken or the egg, but you know, it's just like building that relationship with the clients that we don't always get to hold is super, super fun. And I think the podcast has been such a great starting point for those, you know?
Absolutely. So you could pick a lesson that you've had to learn it, like when it comes to, because, you know, before you started this, you'd never had any experience doing something like this. If you were going to help an artist out there that's listening to this podcast when it comes to your experience in just hosting a podcast, because in my mind, I was like, ooh, there's some like, you had some genuine fear about this and you had to like do things that you'd never done before because you're now responsible for promoting an entire representation agency in the form of a podcast, which as an intern, especially when you first started, it was probably like,
spooky.
Excuse me, what? You want me to do what? What lessons did you learn when it came to like kind of just stepping off that cliff, if you will, or jumping off that diving board into the deep end of this world?
Yeah, I think a big thing that I learned when it came to that kind of process is you can't just do something once and expect yourself to be good at it or like to feel comfortable doing it. That's something I really struggle with. I love being perfect right away. It's like I'm so the type of person that if something doesn't come to me naturally, I don't want anything to do with it. And I have a feeling that a lot of our artists and artists in general are also like that because they do... I mean, you know, their career is their passion and oftentimes their lifelong passion. So it's not, you know, it's very difficult to step outside of that comfort zone. And, you know, for me, it was hosting a podcast, putting myself in front of the camera and like being not a figurehead, but like for lack of a better word, a figurehead for the company. And then for the artists, I'm sure it's a similar thing when they have to like do their taxes or like market themselves or anything that's kind of outside of that immediate realm of, okay, I know I can do this. So that was a huge lesson for me, is that like I don't have to be good at something right away. And I like truly, it really was a situation of fake it till you make it. Like, just do your best. And it's not going to be good the first time or the second time or the third time. But eventually, like, just by making yourself do the thing, you will get better at it and you'll feel so much more comfortable. And now, like, I mean, I can blab on this podcast for an hour straight by myself and not have an issue with it. So, but you're never going to get there if you don't do it and like do the reps and put in the time. So that's been like a huge learning lesson that I think is really helpful to artists too, because I know there's a lot of uncomfortable parts of the job.
That's awesome. So if I were going to summarize, maybe it's the ability to get uncomfortable in things mm-hmm. that maybe aren't in your immediate wheelhouse, but could benefit you in the long run. So 100%. What are some of those benefits maybe that you've experienced outside of just comfortability with things that you thought you couldn't do?
Yeah. I mean, I think this was a good stepping stone just to, in general, like being comfortable trying things. I remember Reels was another thing that I really didn't want to do. And it's in that same space of like, you know, putting myself in the person that I am out there for the world to see. And also like having it tied to a company, I think that was really nerve wracking too. Cause like, you know, I have my personality, but like I am not closer and closer, and like having that responsibility was really nerve wracking. So I think it just opened me up so much more to put myself out there. And also like, you know, people do want something to relate to. I think that was another thing that I learned throughout the whole process, is like people want to relate to you and like to see the person behind the curtain. I didn't always think that they would care about like, you know, the 22-year-old doing marketing and like sitting at her computer, posting the post and doing the thing, and just seeing that like people really resonate with the things that we talk about. And like, this is something that people wanted, was really, really helpful. But yeah, sorry, I kind of forget your question.
No. I was some of those benefits. You've been listing them off in different ways, which is why I keep like hanging on the question, because you say it slightly different every time. And I'm like, ooh, there's some nuggets there.
Yeah.
So
benefits.
Yeah.
Just like being willing to do things I don't want to do. I can now talk. Like, I think the first couple ones, this is so practical and silly, but like, I think the first couple ones I was like, I don't know what I'm saying. And like, I couldn't get a complete sentence out that was coherent. That now comes a lot easier. I think I've also, I mean, again, this is so unique to like the interviewer position, but like learning how to actually listen to people and then like relate to what they're saying, but also continue to encourage them to do more and say more. And like, just getting better at conversation has been really, really helpful. I don't think I was as good at like actually relating to people. And, you know, I think we all fall into the trap of like responding with whatever you want to say and like not actually listening to what the other person is saying because you're already like formulating a thought in your head. I think this podcast has forced me to do that less in all aspects of my life, which I think has been really great. And then, yeah, I mean, honestly, just kicked my ass when it came to staying organized and like making sure that I had my eyes on everything, because it's hard. Like, it's hard wrangling this many balls in the air. I don't know. There's some saying, I don't know, keeping it all going.
You had a lot of,
really
you were
difficult.
Juggling a lot of balls when it comes producing a podcast. And sometimes it's hard to keep those balls in the air. Maybe that's
exactly.
Where, yeah,
thank
there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that you were trying to say. Or the other one analogy is you were spinning a lot of plates and it's hard to keep the plates up.
It wouldn't be a podcast episode with Andrea if I didn't mess up an idiom at some point in the recording.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to take it to a different question, and this is going to make you uncomfortable, so just forewarning you.
Great.
What are some, like, maybe give me, like, top five, and as quick as you can around, like, some of your most favorite interviews that you've got to do over the last 2 years. So like,
I prepped for this.
Oh, you knew it was coming. Cool, good.
I knew it was coming. I was like, I know that this is going to be a question. Okay, I think one of them, I wrote down three and I just thought of a fourth, but Carmi Graus, super nice letters, queen of the world. That one was really, really awesome. I think, I just thought of a fifth one. I'll go through all of them quickly. I think she is really, I mean, just, she's huge, right? Like, Carmi is a big deal. And like, I think I, up until that interview, was maybe a little bit intimidated by her because she's amazing at what she does. And she's so popular and people know her and... You know, she's just a professional. But I think that interview was really great because it opened my eyes to just how incredibly passionate she is about what she does and how like her entire practice of creativity and lettering is for herself. Like she doesn't do any of it for other people or, you know, for the recognition or anything like that. Like she does it because she has to do it for herself. And I thought that was just a really interesting perspective that I never expected coming from Carmi. Not that like Carmi doesn't seem super passionate and amazing. It's just like, you know, she was just always too cool for me, I thought. So it was cool to see like the human behind super nice letters.
Awesome. What about number two?
Yeah. Number two, these aren't in any particular order also. I just want to put that out there. And
cool.
Obviously I love every interview I've ever done and I love every artist on the roster. Anna Peirce Brack was another really great one. That was a recent one. She just was so open and honest about her story and really like that was a really good one. She just really dove into like the nitty gritty of like what has inspired her in her career and what has kept her going. And I mean, I think there's, when you open yourself up like that and it's really scary, obviously, to be vulnerable, but I think it's only benefited her in telling her story and helping people connect with her on that level. Just like knowing what drives her art was super, super, I mean, I felt honored to have that conversation with her and to be able to talk to her about that stuff. I highly recommend going to listen to it. And also, I just think she's like the most badass and I want her to illustrate a tattoo for me. So any excuse to talk to Anna for a bit is, I will take.
I bet she would illustrate a tattoo for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I already know what I want it to be. I want it to be my dog's face, but pink.
She would destroy that.
So iconic, right?
Yeah. All right. Did you hear that, Anna? If you heard this podcast, I'm going to have to send it to you so that you can illustrate that for Andrea's. Is it your first tattoo? Would it be your first tattoo?
I can neither confirm or deny.
Okay. All right. TMI. But, let's keep going. What's another one?
Another one that I want to call out is Jessica Coe. That was another recent one. This might just be a recency bias that I'm calling some of these out, but I have the memory of a goldfish, so I can't remember that far back.
Okay.
Jessica was amazing. She is just so intelligent. She's the co-founder of Playbook, and she's so smart. Like, she's genuinely one of the smartest people I've ever talked to in my life. And like in so many different ways. Like, she's, you know, because I, being a humanities girly, I am always really impressed by people that are STEM people and like have that ability. Because that's just not something I own. But the fact that she has both is like something I've never witnessed before and something that is so impressive to me. Yeah, she's just like one of the smartest, like most interesting people ever. So that was an amazing conversation. And I think she gave some really great advice because she has such a unique perspective, like being a CEO, but also a creative and also like knows how to code and be really smart. So she gave some really awesome advice.
That's cool.
And then I will close this out with one more. I've canceled another one. But Neff Trejo, he was super, super interesting.
Oh, yeah, Neff.
Yeah, I'd never gotten to talk to him. He's another client. He works over at Disney. First of all, I'm a Disney nerd. So that, again, is just super cool to me. I love all things Disney and like the parks and the merch and all of it. So it was super interesting just to hear his perspective on like all the care and thought that goes into all of the Disney creative. Cause obviously like, right, like you think of major creative media brands and Disney is like the one. And just getting that peek behind the curtain of like how much thought goes into everything that they do and like how passionate the people there are about the artists that they work with. And yeah, like I remember him talking about how, you know, the reason, like, they hire artists for a reason, and they, like, an idea is being baked at Disney for months before it even makes it to an artist, and by that point, they know exactly who they want and exactly why they want them. Hearing that was, like, I think so awesome. Dave was on that podcast as well, and I think it was so cool for him to hear that, like, because he had a big project with Disney right before that podcast, or he just landed it or something, and it was, I think it was really cool for him to hear, too, that, like, No. Like, this was super intentional and nobody else could have done the job that you did. It's like so special, you know, to hear that from a client. It's like, wow, you are the best client ever. Please hire me a million more times.
Yeah, I think Closer and Closer has the benefit of like hiring artists because they want to hire them for their perspective, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like, they want them to bring their uniqueness to the projects and to the illustration, animation, whatever they are making for them, because our artists have grown so unique in their mm-hmm. careers, and so they each have their own perspective to offer, which I think is why the clients end up hiring them so much.
100%. Yeah, and it's so, I mean, you know, obviously that can't happen for every project to that scale. It's like there are some projects that we need quickly, or like that story just doesn't of always course. Get to be told between the artist and the client, that like, you know, things go quickly. So you can't always sit down with the artist and be like, here are all the reasons why I think you're amazing and why I picked mm-hmm. you to do this job. But like to hear that so explicitly and like in so much detail from Neff was, I think, something that is incomparable. Like it was just so special.
Awesome. Okay. So is there anybody that you wish that we could have interviewed that we never got the opportunity to when it came to either artists on the roster, past artists that were on the roster or clients that we have? Is there anybody that in your head that you're like, ooh, that would have been really cool, but it just didn't work out?
Yeah. Okay. So I have two. One is like serious, I guess. And then one is kind of silly, but
great.
Number one is Estudio Santa Rita. They are a duo on our roster and I absolutely adore them. Mm-hmm. The reason why they haven't been on the podcast is because they only speak Spanish, and so it was just a little bit complicated, and I also speak Spanish, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult for me talking about like the technical sides of mm-hmm. like art and marketing and all that, just because I like grew up speaking it, so I don't have that vocabulary. But I mean, I love them. I always mm-hmm. refer to them as like my cool like uncle and aunt, or like older cousins, you know, like,
oh, I remember the check-in that we did with them, and yeah. You guys were just so happy together, and I yeah. remember just sitting there being like, I don't need to be here, but I want to be here because this is so lovely to witness.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love them. Like, they're incredible people. They're so smart, and like hearing about how they work together, because like I think being a creative duo is very difficult. And also, I mean, like they're, you know, in a relationship and like have been together for years and years. So it's just like hearing how that works for them and like how that dynamic is super interesting to me. And it's super unique. And I wish that, you know, the listeners had gotten to hear that story, because they're incredible. And also like their art is so cool as well. And then my sillier response is, so Kelsey Melton, she's been on the podcast, I think, once or twice. She is Drew's wife and our wonderful health and wellness and, you know, everything person here at CNC. And she used to do some of the marketing. And so back when I was a one-woman team, she helped me a lot with brainstorming potential guests for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And one of the potential guests that she threw out on the list is a very popular musician that she just happens to know through like her career as a hairstylist and makeup mm-hmm. artist, mm-hmm. Ashton Irwin, member of mm-hmm. 5 Seconds of Summer. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, my teenage heart was screaming when she said that, because I, like, when I tell you I loved 5 Seconds of Summer, I loved them when I was younger. When they were first starting out, I remember mm-hmm. I saw them on tour with One Direction. And honestly, I think that if the idea would have presented itself, I don't know if I could have done it, because I think I would have been so nervous and like I wouldn't have been able to talk. But oh my God, that would have been so cool to have him on the podcast. That would have been crazy.
That's awesome. That would have been wonderful. I wish that would have happened, just so we could have just heard you freeze like mid question, just because you got lost in his eyes.
Yeah, I don't think that. And I was an Ashton girly. Like, that's the other thing, is like he was my favorite. So I was like, Kelsey, you can't do this to me. I'm going to throw up. But yeah, that would have been super cool.
That's
Ashton,
awesome.
If you're listening, we can just chat for an hour. Offer still stands.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in a podcast. You just want to actually just hang out.
Exactly. I just want to be friends.
Yep.
Wait, okay. I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Now, I don't know if this is allowed, but I have this problem where I don't like listening to these episodes back. So I like genuinely forget about what a good episode was. Mm. What were some, and you've listened to all of them basically mm-hmm. in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. What were some of your favorite episodes to listen to?
Ooh, great question. So some ones that stood out to me, let me pull up some of the episodes mm-hmm. because the name will spark some of them. But like, one of the recent ones that we did was for Abraham Lule. I actually just really enjoyed it, and that was us, and that was back in July. The reason being because I felt like I got to ask him some questions around his personality and how that ties to his artwork so specifically, because like he does a lot of things outside of his commercial work. I mean, mm-hmm. his lettering is incredible. He's doing that parchment paper project, but also like he does this dance troop that I don't know what to, how to describe it other than that. And he's just a vibrant, lively human being. And I feel like mm-hmm. we got to tap into that a little bit in that episode with him. And that one was really, really cool. I really loved the podcast that you did with Evan Wesselman.
Yeah, that one
was just in general. Evan's like just kind of like this goofy, clearly an introvert, but kind of has some of these extroverted qualities.
Yeah. You know, he's like a very skilled introvert. Like he's yes. good at talking to people, but you can tell it's not his favorite thing to do.
Right. Like the whole time you're like, are you trying to rush through this sentence? Or like, you're very clear, but are like, are you just trying to not talk as much as possible? It's hard to get that, but it's the way he described his work, the way that he talked about, you know, joy, when it, in relationship to like his cartoony characters that he develops, all of those things to me was like were really, really cool. Mm-hmm. One that stood out for me, Diana Beltran Herrera. She's just a badass. And like what she creates with her art, I just like staring at it. It's kind of, it's mind-boggling every single time that you interact with it. It's just, you're like, this can't be paper. How is this paper? Like, it's on that level. So, yeah. What's another one that really stood out? I'm scrolling back. I'm going into the deep archives now.
Oh God.
Yeah, some of these are. I really love the one that you guys did with Helen Lee. This is back in December of 2020.
I love Helen Lee.
Yeah, she's just got a unique perspective. I think that's the only interview that we have with her. Her journey as a tattoo artist and how that informs her illustration was fascinating. Mm-hmm. There's another one from that year with Mel Suri. This is her like first one, I think, with you guys back in November of 2020. And she's self-taught. I didn't realize that. And that for me was... it was just a really fascinating conversation as someone that like has found something in the wild, makes it their own, and then just goes into the gym and works out for the next 5 years and comes out looking swole. That's a weird analogy for Mel Suri, but that's what she's done with her career. It's just been, she's just been so dedicated and like trusted the process and the evolution. Like, I mean, she just did, Spanish Heritage Month for Amazon, and she was mm-hmm. the featured artist. I mean, like, that's, she didn't huge. Start her career that long ago, and she's already at that level. So to me, that's like, it's very impressive. And then there was was it the first one with Anna Hurley? Oh my gosh, this is back when it was still...
Yeah, Anna Hurley's was the first one.
Yeah, I really... that was the first podcast that I listened to. And for me, it was just a good introduction as to how the company, Closer and Closer, relates to the artist. Because we put the artist first, and that's not just something that we say. It's something that like our success is literally tied to their success as a company. Mm-hmm. If they don't win jobs and if they don't get inquiries, none of us succeed at Closer and Closer. And that's how the company is structured. So it's not something where it's like we hope you get some work. It's like a genuine, like, no, we value your career so much. We're putting our livelihoods on the line as well. But the way that it goes about is actually thoughtful, caring, like human and relatable. It's not something where it's just like this creates this immense pressure. It's actually something where it's like, hey, we want to see you succeed because if you succeed, we all succeed. And mm-hmm. that to me is like, it comes from a different heart place, if that
absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. I think the really special thing about what we do here on the marketing team is like our entire job is just making sure that our artists are out there and that like people are seeing them and hearing them and like hearing their unique perspective. And this podcast has been like such a wonderful, like very obvious way that we can do that, right? Like it's just giving them a space to tell their story and to get it out there in a way that's, you know, maybe a little bit uncomfortable for them, but like we're there with them every step of the way mm-hmm. to make it as successful as it can be. And I've loved it.
Absolutely. And then the last one that I wanted to give a call out to is actually the interview that we did with Dave Arcade, because Dave obviously is the host for a long time. Dave brought the unique artist perspective to this entire process because he obviously is an artist on the roster. But I didn't know about him that the way that he approaches his work really is like this. It's very kid-like and it's very wonder driven. And hearing that explanation of like, hey, have you guys stopped to like look around at the world and how magical it can be and all of those? I just had never got to see that side of Dave, because Dave he can bring some attitude and he can bring some like other perspective sometimes, but like he was really vulnerable around like why he loves to create things, because it's like this cherished childlike spot for him. And that to me, I was like, Dave's being vulnerable and this is amazing. And like, yeah, it's so good to hear this perspective. And like, I love that. So like, that to me was like a shout out to the co-host for a long time here at Closer and Closer. Like, you did great, Dave. And that one was another one that I wanted to make sure and echo. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just working with him, it's been so awesome to see the evolution of like, yeah, like hearing that last podcast episode where we interviewed him. I was like, damn, Dave, like you are a completely different person than, you know, maybe the one that I met in 2020, and just hearing, mm-hmm, like getting to be so closely along for the ride has been amazing. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think on that note, everyone that's listening to this podcast, you definitely should go listen to those past episodes. And mm-hmm, we are going to say goodbye, but it is goodbye for now. We don't, like, if anything, this has been the longest first season of any podcast ever. It's been since 2020 till
sorry guys,
September of 2022. 2 years. This is officially the end of the first season of the Closer and Closer podcast.
Like I said, quote and unquote on the production thing. It's not my, can't say I did the best job, but I did it.
You did do it. And I think that's amazing. And I think there's some stats around how little podcasts make it past like the episode 20. And how many episodes are there? Like,
we have 84 episodes.
That's wild.
Is that nuts?
That is wild. So, I mean, like, from a sheer volume standpoint, you definitely, like, this podcast has blown a lot of others out of the water. So that's pretty incredible in and of itself.
Totally. Well, cool. Yeah.
We'll are there miss any you? Last thoughts that you want to leave with the listeners, or anything, any call outs that we would like to make on behalf of Closer and Closer? I do have one of those. If you guys ever want to hire any of our artists, you can reach out to hello@closerandcloser.co. If you have any questions whatsoever, you can DM us on Instagram or send us emails directly. Andrea@closerandcloser.co. Katon, that's Caton, for those of you that, you know, it autocorrects to Karen. That's not my name. Closer and Closer as well. But we are available, and we, like, at the end of the day, we really just want to get our artists more opportunities. And if you've enjoyed this podcast at all, like, reach out to us, because we do want to hear from you. And if you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's going away, let us know when we bring it back, like, what would you want this podcast to be about? So those are some things that I wanted to say.
No, you covered it all. I mean, follow us on Instagram, follow our newsletter, subscribe, check out our website, check out all of our incredible artists. And yeah, we'll miss you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to get the latest episodes. To find out more about how Closer and Closer connects commercial artists with their dream clients, strengthens their careers, and more, head over to our website, www.closerandcloser.co, or sign up for our weekly newsletter, The Dose.